The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning and a Merry Christmas, everybody, on this second day of December. December underway. Tuesday of next week, the Georgia runoff. We got to get Herschel across the goal line. People in Georgia, got relatives in Georgia. Get everybody mobilized. Today's the last day of early voting. You know how annoyed I am by early voting. But until we get rid of it, use it. Because what if it rains on Tuesday or something comes up on Tuesday? The Mike Gallagher premise has always been right. Whatever things we have, if it's legal, do it. Whatever it takes to do it. Meet them on the battlefield. Democrats use early voting disproportionately, and we need to get out there and get Herschel across the goal line. Speaking of goal lines, a lot of football tomorrow. TCU looks to extend their undefeated streak and make the college football playoff with a win over Kansas State in the Big 12 championship at Jerry World. And then following day, they turn Jerry World around for Cowboys and Colts, so that should be cool. Tomorrow morning, you can get up early at 9 o'clock and watch America and the Netherlands, if you are so inclined. So all kinds of stuff lies ahead this weekend. And what kicks off every weekend? The following proclamation. It's Friday.
Ah, I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
Ah! I would not. So good. So good. I got you.
A vital part of the Christmas library. Guitar virtuoso Gary Hoey. From Ho Ho Hoey, the complete collection. Gary shredding to Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Now, we're not going to do that every hour, because a little of Gary goes a really long way. But it's fun. I mean, a guy who has obvious guitar chops has decided, you know, I'm going to make a career out of doing rockin' versions of Christmas carols. And I think he's got a couple of Bentleys in the garage from that. So anyway, so happy Friday, everybody. Great to have you here, and absolutely Merry Christmas. Hope everything's good for you in the early portion of the Christmas season and the early days of December that are filled with so much promise, filled with so many things that we need to get to. And listen, let's get to this before I get to anything Georgia related, before I get to anything Kanye related. Good Lord, just somebody please, just a wellness check on this guy every day, and I am not kidding. Also, I didn't think I'd be revisiting what I identified at the beginning of the week as the dumbest story of the week, if not the later part of the year, the teenage Jerry Jones at Central High in Little Rock photograph. But I have to, because there have been some genuine examples of grace and I guess forgiveness, if that's even an issue. If you're 14 years old and you show up at Central High in Little Rock, where a whole lot of people were there, many of them not happy at President Eisenhower calling in the National Guard so that a black girl could enroll in a high school. I still can't believe that's the America I was born into 2 months later there in 1957. But there were a lot of people who were there, and some were there because they didn't want the black kid in school. Some were there because they did. Others were there just thinking, wow, this is wild. Let's see what's going on. And 80-year-old Jerry Jones says that was him. And there's no reason to believe otherwise, and no reason to smear Jerry with mere presence at Central High. He was a sophomore or something at North Little Rock at the time on the football team, and he said one of his main concerns was, don't do anything that gets me in trouble with my coach. But there have been two kinds of people. And you knew that this was going to happen, and that would be the people who were interested in smearing Jerry, mostly for the sin of, get ready, not hiring a black coach. It's like, all right, look, if there's a Mike Tomlin somewhere that got passed over so you could hire Chan Gailey just to pick two people, I mean, all right. But was there? Was there? But the real reason, of course, is so that people can continue to race bait, continue to foment race war, continue to smear people in the modern day with the intellectual sin of presentism. And again, presentism is seeing everything through the prism of today. Christopher Columbus was terrible because he wasn't a 21st century enlightened man. Well, that was the 15th century. Jerry Jones is to be smeared today for even being at Central High in Little Rock 65 years ago when he was 14, 15 years old. So there was a clip from the always entertaining Stephen A. Smith on ESPN. And it was one of the more impassioned defenses of Jerry. By the way, you know who else has offered a defense of Jerry? That would be Dak. And that's a good thing, too. But there are just race-baiting performance artists out there. And it's just a dumb, dumb story. Oh, made even dumber, as are most things, by LeBron James, who said this past week, you know, everybody's asking me about Kyrie Irving. Which gets us right back into the Kanye story, because there are people who are saying everybody has lists of things we need to have a conversation about. We need to have a conversation about A, B, C, D, this. We need to have a conversation. And some people are saying we need to have a conversation about anti-Semitism in the black community. Like that's a big, roiling, pervasive thing. I don't think that it is, but every once in a while, you'll get Kyrie Irving, big-time NBA star, big-time Jew hater, maybe. He was out hawking on Twitter this Hebrews to Negroes film from the logic of the black Hebrew Israelites, the people who say that the only real Jews, the only real descendants of the Jews of the Bible are black folks. Anybody else, even the Semitic folks from which anti-Semitic comes, even the folks of the Middle East and certainly the white Jews, those are totally phony Jews. So it's bad. It is bad anti-Semitism. So Kyrie is spouting off about that. He's apologized. Does anybody believe that? I don't know. I mean, apologies. A word about apologies. Then we'll get to Kanye the various other things attached to that and LeBron. If you do something, say something, and it's really stupid and cruel, and then you apologize for it. I'm a big fan of accepting apologies, but then that's just step one. That's just step one. Because if somebody does something and they apologize for it, it's like, okay, are you just trying to get your butt out of hot water? Or is this a real epiphany? Is this a real, you know, almost literal in some cases, come to Jesus moment for you? And the only way you find that out is by observing the behavior that that is on display thereafter. So if somebody really does seem to learn and grow, then that's great. That means the apology was real. If not, then, you know, you were being hosed. The one thing you should never say, never, that wasn't me. I don't know why I did that. That wasn't me. Guess what? Yes, it was. We've all done things we needed to apologize for. And you know what? At those moments, that was us. We need to change us if there's some bad behavior, a bad thing said, a bad thing done. But don't be sitting there pretending like you got some kind of Sybil level multiple personality disorder. Like, oh, that must have been somebody else because it wasn't me. It was you. So if that's a part of you needs to change, then go work on that, and we pray for your success. So anyway, LeBron was spouting off after another Lakers loss. Lakers are not good at the moment this year. And it was like, you know, everybody's asking me about Kyrie Irving. You know, everybody's asking me about the misbehaving black guy. But why isn't anybody asking me about Jerry Jones? Well, maybe it's because one is a story and one's not. Maybe it's because one is in your sport and a peer of yours in the sport and the other one's not. Maybe it's because we don't need to come to you, the great Oracle LeBron, on all matters of social import. Maybe there's that too. So, crazy. Well, there's something crazy every day, and amid all the craziness, we do this. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. Fill us with the blessings of this Christmas season, and we thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, and we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and still cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Okay, Georgia on my mind. Tuesday is the runoff. It's extremely important. Everybody knows it. And Obama, it was with Raphael Warnock in Atlanta. There were a couple of interesting moments from that. I'll play for you here in a second. I mean, they know it. A lot of people are saying, well, you know, Warnock knows he's behind because he's bringing in Obama. I think it looks very much like a dead heat. It's going to be very, very close. If you got Obama and you could bring him in, bring him in. You know, whether you're, you know, down by five, up by five, or whatever. If you got Obama on your side, bring him in. But before we get to Warnock and Obama for a second, Molly Hemingway, whom I love over the Federalist, was writing a piece about as we get Republicans ready to take control of the House, which is great. And there's so much thought going into, you know, what the Republican future is and the direction the party ought to make. And we really do have to watch out for what kind of Republicans we embrace and elevate, because just having an R by your name is meaningless. There are squish, weasel, turncoat, Benedict Arnold, establishment-soaked Republicans who will screw you as certainly as a Democrat will. And it led me to say yesterday in the crazy Twitter world that, you know, in some ways, I have a sort of a deeper gripe with squish weasel Republicans than I do with actual liberal Democrats. At least with a liberal Democrat, you know what you've got. You've got somebody who's wrong on every issue, but they are what they are, and they don't lie about what they are. The squish weasel turncoat Republicans are the ones who will tell you all the livelong day that they share your values and they really are conservative and dope. And they are lying like dogs. Latest case in point is in Georgia. I want you to hear this piece of work. This is Jeff Duncan, who is the lieutenant governor of Georgia.
I showed up to vote this morning. I was one of those folks who got in line and spent about an hour waiting. And, you know, it was the most disappointing ballot I've ever stared at in my entire life since I started voting. You know, I had two candidates that I just couldn't find anything that made sense for me to put my vote behind. And so I walked out of that ballot box showing up to vote but not voting for either one of them.
First of all, if you believe that, you're an idiot. But let's go to the idiocy of Jeff Duncan himself. Really, sir? Really? You offer yourself up as a Republican, you offered yourself up as a conservative, and you couldn't find a way. First of all, my first thought is he's lying. So he's either lying or a complete moron, and I'm willing to accept the possibility of both. as a professed Republican, a professed conservative, you couldn't find it in yourself to get rid of Raphael Warnock? Maybe Herschel's not your favorite guy. Maybe Herschel's not your favorite Republican. Maybe you wanted somebody else in the primary. Okay. That's water under the bridge. That's done. Now it's binary. Now it's Raphael Warnock or Herschel Walker. And you, Lieutenant Governor Duncan, couldn't see your way clear to vote for Herschel? You can blow that right out your ear. These weasel, squish Republicans, man, I have had it. We have a much better lieutenant governor in Texas, and he'll join us today, 9:05. Dan Patrick. Going to talk to him about his legislative agenda. Also want to talk to him about that Democrat committee chair thing in the House. That's another thing I've had it with. We're a Republican state. What do we do with Democrat committee chairs? All right, let's go to Hot Atlanta. Last night in Atlanta, it was hot. Raphael Warnock was there with his special guest, Barack Obama, and Reverend Warnock first.
I don't mind giving credit where credit is due. Herschel Walker was an amazing athlete, an amazing football player. He created a lot of energy at the University of Georgia. He was an amazing running back. And come next Tuesday, we're going to send him running back to Texas.
All right. Okay, credit where credit is due. That's a reference to Herschel's $3 million house in Westlake. Got a couple of residences. So does Trump. So did Cheney, et cetera, et cetera. So let's go to the star of the show, Barack Obama. Same rally for Warnock last night.
Some folks are asking, well, if Democrats already have control of the Senate, why does this matter? What's the difference between 50 and 51?
And listen, it's going to get even thicker in a minute. When Barack Obama is in front of a black crowd, he gets blacker. It's the weirdest thing. When Hillary got in front of a black crowd, she turned black. You remember everybody turns into Jesse Jackson. Now, this was not a totally black crowd. It was obviously a black senator. Certainly some black folk among the attendees. But in a minute, you will hear Barack Obama, who usually talks to you much as I'm talking to you now. And by the way, I don't care about anybody's brogue, anybody's accent, anybody's flavor, anybody, just whatever. Please, I like Herschel. But just there's an Obama moment in here that's just crazy.
The answer is a lot. An extra senator gives Democrats more breathing room on important bills. It prevents one person from holding up everything.
That's a reference to the occasionally mischievous Joe Manchin or Kristen Sinema, who don't always vote straight down the line Democrat. If it's 50-50, those individual senators could mess up Democrat legislation.
And it also puts us in a better position a couple years from now when you've got another election, but the Senate map is going to be tilted in the favor of Republicans. But you know what? There's one more reason. And it's the biggest reason.
Here we go.
51 is better than 50.
50.
Because
keep hope alive.
It means Reverend Warnock will keep representing you in Washington.
So there you go. All right, anyway. So listen, if you can get Obama, get Obama. So there you go. Tensions are high. The stakes are high in Georgia. 7:25. What the heck are they saying? Right. It is actually Gunter Gleben Glauken Globen, the boys of Def Leppard. Rock of Ages, because why? We have a rock and roll birthday. Bass player Rick Savage of Def Leppard is 62. And nothing says Christmas like some Def Leppard. All righty, let us roll into the newsroom. Gordon Griffin is there, and on the other side of that, Mike Gallagher is there. We're going to wrap up the week in style with our M&M segment with Mike. But right now, in the newsroom, I'm Mark Davis. Here's Gordon Griffin. We have a birthday, Mike.
Britney Spears?
No, Christina Aguilera.
Yes. Isn't that Britney Spears?
Yes, I'm playing with you.
I wouldn't know the difference. I took a wild guess. Well, happy birthday, Britney. She's liberated now, right?
She is 41 and liberated. Yep, there you go. So,
well, that could be my theme song today. Happy Friday.
What are you liberated from?
Oops, I did it again. Oh. I went back. Here's my second medical crisis of the week. Now, earlier in the week.
And so it
begins. You ready for another one? Let me ask you, old man to old man.
Okay.
Boomer to boomer.
Yeah.
Have you or Lisa gotten your shingles shot yet?
Yes, I'm all about the shingles shot.
Okay,
which is so just fun to say.
I get a shingles shot. Right. Okay, it's both fired. We don't say that slowly.
Shot.
And I say to the doctor, I said, "Well, are there any side effects?" I said, "You know." And first of all the vax people are coming out of the woodwork. I called a friend of mine. He goes, "You shouldn't be getting any vaccines. You're going to die. You're going to have blood. It'll be Al Roker." You know, Al Roker's got all these blood clots, and they're saying, well, they're people that are anti-vax. Whoa, now they don't like the shingles vaccine.
So wait a minute. So our suspicions over, or anybody's suspicions over, hesitancy about the COVID vaccine now extends to every vaccine for everything, even the ones that have been around for all right.
Yes. Three people I spoke to, one of whom you know quite well last night. Oh, you know who he is. I'm not going to mention any names, Tom Tratta. I can't believe you got a vaccine. You got the shingles vaccine. And sure enough, I go home last night and I feel like crap.
I'm sorry.
I mean, did you feel okay after you had it?
No, I was fine. My arm was sore for a day, but it was fine.
The nurse put the shot in. I almost screamed like a 12-year-old. It hurt.
Uh-oh.
It hurt. Ooh. And then I get home. I'm thinking, okay, well, it hurt. All right, my arm is sore.
But then what?
Then last night, I'm starting to feel kind of washed out. Yeah. I feel a little headachy. I was going into the light. I mean, it was touch and go. I mean, my medical, and I talked to one of my sons, and he said, "Dad, you are a hypochondriac." I said, "Well, there's that."
But I can't believe I shouldn't
have gotten it. I'm traveling today. I'm going to New York.
First of all, I don't anything that is going to have any kind of side effect. I mean, I went and got the flu shot, too. I hope that's okay.
Nope. All right.
But I wouldn't do that a day before, you know, hopping on a plane somewhere. But I'll tell you
that's what I shouldn't have done.
Right. It's all a matter of timing. But I'll tell you, from testimony I've heard, and maybe you have as well, if there's one thing you don't want, it's shingles itself. It is
why the doctor told me to get it. He told me, he goes, "I just treated two patients that have shingles. They thought they had bed bugs and bites and stuff. I mean, I guess it's like a rash." This awful. I thought, well, and that's so. He scared me into taking it. Now here I still don't feel. I'm not right now. I'm telling you right now, I'm not 100%.
When are you on the plane to New York?
Oh, a couple hours. An hour. You know, I'm out the door. Well, but I wouldn't miss tomorrow. Now, let me geek out on you in the theater world. You geek out about NASA, and you geek out about Def Leppard's Christmas carols.
But let me give you mine. Okay, ready.
Tomorrow, the Alvin Jacobs Theater, I'm seeing Lea Michele play Fanny Bryce in Funny Girl on Broadway. Now, I'll have a review for you Monday, because I hear she stops the show.
Biden could resign, and Mike will tell you about Lea Michele in Funny Girl.
Don't bother me. Don't bother me when I'm at the theater Saturday to see Funny Girl. This was the first show I did, professional show I did at Lyric Stage, this wonderful gem in Dallas. They work now out of the Majestic Theater, and they're about to do, they got some great shows coming up. I think they're doing Tarzan and Aida. But my first show, shortly after my Denise died, a local actress named Julie Johnson, who's a big, big, talented, she's been on Broadway and toured and everything, she said, she was over with our mutual friend Sally Struthers. And Julie says, "Why don't you go audition for you love theater, you're, you know, kind of a part-time actor, go audition at Lyric Stage. They do amazing work." I got cast as Tom Keeney, the grumpy theater manager that Fanny Bryce has to interact with a little bit. It's a very small part in Funny Girl. And it was, they had like a 40-piece orchestra. And this show,
people who need people.
Don't rain on my parade. I mean, it's such a, and it made Barbara Streisand a star.
Yep.
I mean, this was her show. Like, I think it was 1963. And they've never revived it on Broadway. Well, they have now. This Lea Michele, who's from TV's Glee, I heard she gets 4 to 5 standing ovations during the show. People are standing, and that doesn't happen in a show. So anyway, I'm going tomorrow, and then here's the best part of all. I'm going to put together a New York Angel Tree Christmas campaign.
You floated this yesterday, and we even, like, during our respective shows, wondered how this ought to go. Have you reached a concrete decision on what
it's
you're going to float before people in order
The show is going to be, I've got two tickets, great seats. They're like house seats, best seats in the house.
Right.
In 2 weeks, it's like a weeknight, at the theater, I'm going to offer the seats. I'm going to offer dinner with moi. I'm going to offer my fellowship and friendship and appreciation for a big donor, $25,000 tax deductible. That's 1,000 kids
worth,
to sponsor.
Worth every dime.
I don't know if anybody will do it, but we'll see. I'm going to give it a shot.
Somebody will do it in the next 10 minutes, maybe, dude.
And, you know, this is a Christmas tradition on at Team Gallagher. My Denise had something called preacher cookies. Every Christmas time, she made Christmas preacher cookies for me and the boys.
What's a preacher?
Preacher cookies are bakeless oatmeal chocolate. Oh, I mean, if heaven doesn't have them, I don't want to go. Now, I admit, with the 50 pounds of weight loss, I don't think Rhonda and I can belly up to the preacher cookie bar.
More for the rest of us.
But I've got the recipe, and here's what I need today. I've got over like 2,200 kids, I think, sponsored so far. Yeah. My goal is 7,800.
Yes.
$25 sends a kid a Christmas present at Christmas from their mom or dad incarcerated. These are from a parent in jail.
Yep.
The kid gets a present, they get a Bible, and they get a personalized message from the kid. So the preacher cookie recipe, we've got it posted on my website. Better yet,
excellent.
If you want my Denise's preacher cookie, the fabled preacher cookie recipe,
yes.
If you text the keyword Denise to 800-655-MIKE, we'll send you back the recipe with my Denise's picture, with biggest smile that lit up a room. I miss her every day of every week. And we also have the link on there for the Angel Tree. Let me tell you something, Mark. We do these campaigns on the Mike Gallagher Show in honor of Denise. She's the one who told me years ago, instead of just blithering about issues on the air, why don't you take your audience and do some good for people?
And
that's how we sort of launched a lot of these efforts. And I do it with my Denise in my heart. So if you want to honor my wife, text the keyword Denise to 800-655-MIKE. We'll send you back the recipe for the preacher cookie and the link to make a donation. If I can get 400 people around America to donate $50 today, we're going to be over 3,000, which is incredible.
And you will send Hugh Hewitt into apoplexy. I hear him in his first hour. All he does is obsess about how you are owning him. In
it's our listeners. Our audience is so generous, and a huge part coming from Dallas-Fort Worth. All right, let's get down to business. I want to do the Jerry Jones thing with you at some point, but before we do that, that's a local Dallas story, but I got a local Tampa story making news. Well, it's a national story.
When LeBron asks why nobody's talking to him about Jerry Jones, it becomes a global story. But I know,
and I want to do that. I want to tackle that, but there's also a really intriguing story about the police chief of Tampa.
What?
Have you heard about the police chief?
Can't say.
Mary O'Connor is in some hot water.
Mm-hmm.
She and her husband were out on a golf cart the other day.
Yeah.
About a week or so ago, maybe it was longer than that. I'm going to get all the details from our newsman, Roger P. Schulman. But she's out driving around on a golf cart that should have had a license tag on it. I don't know how it works in Texas.
Oh, no.
You're not able to drive golf carts just on the road.
Yep.
You know, in Florida, where I live in Tampa Bay and St. Pete, I see a lot of really cool-looking golf carts, and they got the red, you know, hazard thing on the back.
Absolutely.
They've got a license plate. They've got, and it's like a vehicle.
That's
and you've got to register.
$50,000 golf cart. Absolutely.
Right, no kidding. And you can't, so she's out driving around with her husband illegally.
Yeah.
Now listen to the exchange. We got the receipts, as the kids say, because the body cam was rolling and it has been released
by the Pinellas. We have body cam of this. 14 controversial shootings. Oh, we seem to have had them all, but we have body cam for this.
It does not go well for Tampa Police Chief Mary O'Connor. Check this out.
Good. I'm Deputy Chief of the Sheriff's Office. Stopped you because you're driving tag or unregistered vehicle with no tag on it on the roadway.
Yeah, we went to the club. It was closed, so we went over and picked up some.
Is your camera on?
It is.
Oh. I'm the police chief in Tampa.
Oh, how you doing?
Yeah. I'm doing good.
Okay.
I'm hoping that you'll just let us go tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll say, not to say you look familiar, so.
Yeah, I'm sure I do.
Okay. So, all right, folks. Well, have a good night. Staying over here in Eastlake Woodlands?
Yeah. You live in Eastlake Woodlands.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, it's nice to meet you. So I'm Deputy Jacoby.
Okay.
Same here, my friend.
All right.
Take care of yourself. All right.
Take care.
Sorry to bother you.
All right. No worries. No worries. Like I say, we have a lot of problem with the golf carting around here. You know, everybody.
No, we don't normally come out.
We never come out.
The club was closed.
No, wait. Get ready.
It's a great place to get some food.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. All right, then. We'll take care.
Oh, no, Eric clipped it. Doggone it, he clipped it at the end. She hands him, I'll play it on the show full version. I want to hear the whole version.
Right.
She hands him a business card and says, if you ever need anything, you let me know.
Well,
and
like,
he goes, well, thank you, ma'am. I sure will. And then she says, serious. I'm serious.
Yeah.
In other words, now, Mark Davis, Wisdom Solomon, my wise friend.
Look at the time. Let's go to a break.
Should she lose her job?
Okay, leaning on him to give her a break because of who she is, that's never a good look. I'd like to think that 99 out of 100 people violating the golf cart rule probably get a warning and get let go, so it's not like she was let off
from a
murder rap or anything. No. But that's not, she'd lose her job, no. I think she's probably pretty embarrassed by this.
But you know what, Brent, you know what makes me crazy, though? And I've always cringed when somebody does one of those
Do you know who I am? Yeah.
And then he says, I thought I recognized you.
I'm sure you did. I'm so famous.
I'm the Tampa police chief. I don't know that she should get fired, but it is interesting about double standards and how somebody. And what's fascinating to me is she knew the body cam was rolling.
Yeah, well,
she's the one who says, I don't know if you could pick it up. She says, is your camera on?
That's right.
Because
changes the situation completely.
Well, no, he said yes. And then she said, well, I'm the Tampa police chief.
If
he says yes to me, I'm going to say, I'm the janitor over here at the Dewdrop Inn. Now, I did this one. You know, I've never in my life. Have you ever done it? Do you know when I. And I know you haven't. I know you.
What?
You've never. With a ticket or anything? Have you ever gotten out of a ticket?
No, no.
One time I've done this. Now, I didn't do it. I would never in a million years. Oh, yeah, I'm a big mouth on the radio. Do you know what I was going in Dallas. I was on the Stemmons Freeway to meet a donor for Gallagher's Heroes, the Fallen Officer Fund. And I was going to get a check for $20,000 to help.
Did you throw down military honors?
I did not.
Is that like stolen valor ticket avoidance?
Here's what I did. The cop pulls me over. I'm late, and I was running late for the appointment, and I was speeding.
Yep.
And I did. I thought, okay, he got me.
Yeah.
But I thought, I'm not going to say a word. You know, I gave my driver's license. He says, where were you going?
Good.
Well, Mark, I can't lie to a police officer.
Of course not.
I said,
I'm
going to go pick up a check for $20,000 to assist the families of fallen police officers for the Mike Gallagher Show Fallen Officer Fund.
Yes.
He looks at me, he says, you think I can give you a ticket? Have a good day. Thank you, sir. Slow down. But I didn't initiate it.
You're simply asked the question. You answered in a full and detailed fashion.
I would have never said. So somewhere there's a police officer in Dallas who I.
There you go.
I don't know. And meanwhile, we haven't even gotten to California reparations. Did you see this story?
What?
A reparations committee in California is recommending that descendants of slaves in California should be compensated, are you ready for this? $223,000 apiece.
Descendants of slaves, also known as virtually every African American?
Well,
except the ones who recently arrived from Jamaica or something like
California
that.
California wasn't even a slave state.
well, still.
They want to set aside $569 billion in California. You don't think they're crazy in California? $569 billion to compensate 2.5 million black Californians who suffered setbacks. Oh, come on. I always predicted the day that white or non-black citizens have to pay black residents for slavery is the day that people are going to lose their minds. I mean, this is light your hair on fire. In this economy where people are struggling and as tough as it, $223,000 apiece.
I think the good news of this is it goes nowhere, and every time people bring it up, it's just posturing.
I'll bet you it's going to happen.
You think
I'll
so?
Bet it's gonna, right. You wait and see.
Now,
discussions are underway.
I'll bet you on that.
The task force, they have until June of 2023. You watch and see.
It is California.
All right. Hey, next Tuesday, we got to get Herschel Walker across the finish line.
Let's do it. It's the last day of early voting. Tell us, and you got a bunch of listeners in Georgia. Badger them lovingly to get out there and early vote today. It's the last day of early voting, and we're going to do this for Herschel. Alrighty, man.
You got it. Happy weekend. I'll report. Hopefully, I won't get shot, stabbed, mugged, thrown in front of a subway.
Don't take the subway. What is Mike Gallagher doing on the subway? I'll be Ubering.
I'm like Kanye. I'll wear one of the full face masks.
This is not a good time to say I'm like Kanye. Anytime you say
Hitler was good, you might have
a good day. I'm deeply concerned. I'm deeply concerned about him. So they need
He is in the middle of a big time mental breakdown. And poor. When you've got Alex Jones uncomfortable,
exactly. I'm a little bit uncomfortable. You've gone somewhere. This is going a little off the rails, even for me. Yeah. The frogs dropping from the sky. Oh my God!
It's Twilight Zone 2.0, Twilight Zone. I like Jews. The Jews are nice people. That's Alex Jones. When you're making him say that,
that's when you know.
Happy weekend. Love you.
Happy weekend. Mike Gallagher today at 10, soon as we are done on 660 AM, The Answer.
The newborn king,
1950.
Peace on earth and mercy mild.
The great Bing Crosby from the Christmas Classics LP. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We'll let Bing take us out and into the 8 o'clock news. A little Salem Radio Network, a little Gordon Griffin, and then a little chat with a local member of Congress who may be about to score an important committee chairmanship in the new Republican Congress. Stick around, much to come on our Friday show. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.